You are tuned into the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Like, review, or share this episode with those you love and lead.
In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you heal the wounds that divide. Lord God, we ask that you restore relationships and bring us together today in a new and deliberate way. Lord Jesus, give us a greater capacity to focus on the ways we can build a more positive and welcoming community. Lord Jesus, help us to better understand what this could look like in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our businesses, in our churches. Help us to see that togetherness, that unity, ushers in a new set of ideas that truly bring glory to God and help us to transform the earth. Lord Jesus, it's so easy to sit back, you know, sit in the background, sit in the peanut gallery, sit in the stands and be critical and critique others and criticize others and just offer our opinions to our community and our world, Lord God. But it really takes courage and civility and intentionality to be a part of the solution in creating a better world, a better church, and taking the gospel beyond our borders and truly living in a way that showcases that you are the evidence. And your evidence is alive in our lives. Father, lead us into a deeper place of purity, purity in our relationships, Lord God. If most of us would tell the truth, Lord God, we haven't done relationships to their full capacity, Lord God, because the judgment of others, our opinions of how things should go, Lord God, seeking to be self-righteous versus walking in righteousness, Lord God, it separates us when you have come to unite, Lord God, those who want to walk after you, Lord God. In John 4, Lord Jesus, we see you delve beyond religion, tradition, cultural edicts, and political ideologies and connect with the woman at the well. Lord God, how dare us be so high and mighty, so holier than thou that we don't connect with the people you send us to. Help us, Lord, to do the same, Lord God. Forgive that hypocritical hidden side of who we are that disconnects us from others, Lord God. Help us to make a decision today to come to the same well, much like that lady, and have a drink and thirst no more, Lord God. Lord God, help us to live as the head and not the tail, Lord God. That's been coming up over and over in my conversations, Lord God, that so many people are okay with living beneath what you call them to. So help us, Lord God, to live as the head. Help us to live as salt. Help us to be light, Lord God, in a world that desperately needs a light, Lord God. Lord God, as I listened and as I tarried in prayer, Lord God, no one is immune to idols, Lord God. It's just, what do we have idols of, Lord God? And many of the idols are of our own making. Lord God, idols of our career, idols of our sports heroes, idols of our pastors, our spiritual leaders, our gurus, idols of our cultural context, Lord God. Lord God, help us to tear down those idols in our hearts, Lord God. Take every human being off the pedestal we place them on. Lord God, help us to live what your word says, where we're given unto Caesar what's Caesar's, but given unto God what is God. Lord God, help us to walk out knowing that in their humanity, they need our prayers. Lord God, it's easy to pray for one another, but did we pray for the president when his last name was Trump? Lord God, help us to stop being so hypocritical. We need prayer, but we won't extend the same. Lord God, we reap what we sow, so help us to be conscious and conscientious in what we're sowing in prayer. Lord God, one of the reasons our public figures and our athletes, our politicians are going through it, especially in their mental health, is because of idol worship, Lord God. Lord God, we're not seeing them as humans who had the capacity to do something extraordinary. Lord God, yesterday on the prayer line, it was powerful because when we were being trained on human performance, Lord God, it was a moment. It wasn't forever. And so we see a moment of someone being outstanding and excellent, Lord God, and we brand them as such. Lord God, that was just the moment. They're human, so they're fully capable of the full spectrum of humanity. Lord God, and if we learn to value humans, all of them, when they're up and when they're down, when they're on the hill and when they're in the valley, Lord God, then it's easier to connect. It's easier to love. It's easier to walk with them. Lord God, personally, we're asking that you showcase to us how we would value what you've called us to. Help us to value our lives, Lord God, simply because you made us. Simply because we're here. Simply because you breathe into us. Lord God, we are valuable. Lord God, everything else we get to do is a bonus. If we get to be husbands, get to be fathers, get to be CEOs, get to be top salespeople at the company, get to be teachers, professors, get to be truck drivers. Lord God, what we get to do, Lord God, that's the bonus work. But Lord God, our value comes from you, and we're valuable simply because you made us. Lord God, help us to understand that and embrace our value. Help us to walk in our purpose and live out our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, what I'm going to go in on today is relationships. And I believe everything that we discussed prior to this really teed this up really well. I wanted to read some lyrics from Tarn Wells' song, Hills and Valleys. And I think as we traverse the hills and valleys of life, it's so easy to get caught in the moment of one of those spots. Either you're up, you're in the mountaintop, or you're in the valley. And what I like is that he captured that this is a lifetime work. What we do is a lifetime work. Who we are is a lifetime work. And if you truly continue to press towards whatever God has put in your heart, what you will see in the hills and valleys will start to harmonize, and you will know in each moment that is God. So in verse 1, Tarn Wells says, I've walked among the shadows. You wiped my tears away. And I've felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days. And I've prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place. And I have held your blessing, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I was standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. And I think that's the part for me of that song that's so significant, because so many of us at some point in our life pretended we accomplished something on our own. And if we live with that confusing idea as a part of our belief system, when God is calling us to more, the approach we have with that really pushes people away instead of attracting people to the work. This quote is from Pastor Mike Roeder. He says, when you have all you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. When you have all you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. Sharing a table with someone has the capacity to heal wounds, broaden our understanding, reclaim old friendships, destroy tension, offer civility, and create new friendships. A table which is regularly adorned with food and surrounded by guests has more power than any policy or legislation, because the best and most important things happen there. My family, as far back as I can remember, has had Sunday dinners. We've had Sunday dinners, 5-course Sunday dinners. And I never considered the importance of those moments. Think about it, 52 Sundays a year in a decade, that's 520 Sundays in a decade. And as I really reflect on my deepest learning and experiences, those Sunday dinners have taught me more than any of my travels, any of my teachers, and any of my time in university. Sitting with the men and women at my table, sitting with the fellow children at my tables, truly tapping into what they're teaching me, what they're sharing, what their experiences are. And as someone who grew up in that culture, I spent years without it. And my life looked like it, if I'm being fully disclosing the hills and valleys of my life. And as I processed that thought, because we had Sunday dinner this past Sunday, I started to press towards an idea. Because one of the things I teach and coach all the time is, what's the evidence? What's your evidence? Because no matter what you say you believe, at some point there has to be evidence. There has to be evidence. So what is the evidence of your growth? Sunday dinner was evidence of my growth. What is the evidence that you're walking in your leadership? For me, again, Sunday dinner was evidence that I was walking in my leadership. What is the proof that you love those you're called to lead? What is the proof? What is the evidence that you love those that you're called to lead? Again, Sunday dinner was that proof. As we were all sitting down to eat, my wife tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up at my wife and I said, what's up? Because I was really hungry. I was, you know, ready to just go in. She said, Bernard, I've never seen that. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And she pointed at my mother and my father. She said, yeah, I've never seen them have a meal together. And I looked over there, and my wife was 100% accurate. My wife and I have been together 21 years. And neither of us in our adulthood have ever seen my mother and dad having a meal together. And here's the thing, my mom and dad have been divorced 29 years. They've been divorced longer than my wife and I have been together. So in my adult lifetime, I've never seen them share a meal together. I've seen them in the same location. They share the same kids. They both got 5 kids by each other. So we've seen them at the same events all our adult life, but we've never seen them sit down and share a meal. We saw them sitting down, laughing, joking, telling stories. And it was such a wonderful time. My mom commented, she said, you know, one of my sons had his, my grandchildren had their grandpa, grandma, great grandma, and other grandma at the same table with them. And I just reflected on what that meant, because I don't know about most of y'all, but when my parents divorced, it was ugly. It was as contentious and as nasty as it could be. But because of what I specifically pray for, last week we went through a corporate week of prayer and fasting, and I'm like, God, I want tangible evidence that me turning down this plate, me not eating food, me feeling the shakes of withdrawal from the different foods that are typically in my diet and in my system, that you are going to do something that has evidence. And so when I looked at the dinner table and I saw the conversation and I saw everybody getting what they needed, from my mama to my daddy to my grandmother to my brother's mother-in-law who was there, to our guest, the Hunt, to my cousin and her boyfriend, to the kids, to my brothers and their families, I was like, look at God showing up with evidence. Evidence that what we press toward, because I couldn't pay my mom and daddy to sit at the same table. Bro, I've seen it. Weddings, graduations, they just would be where they are. It'd always be this awkward moment when one of them was already in the room and the other walked in. Evidence. My mom came over yesterday. My dad was like, I'm making breakfast. Would you like some? My daddy cooked my mom breakfast. So I'm watching this, like, and I have never seen this in my adult life. Yesterday, for 5 to 6 hours, we went sightseeing around Seattle. My dad, my mom, and my grandma. I called all of my brothers and asked them. They was like, nope, never done that. Not in my adult life. Haven't seen that. So I know that I know. Not only is God real, but his word is real, and he's willing to give us evidence that we can recognize, that others can recognize, that he's moving in our lives and in our situations. But something Ryan touched on when you gave the devotion is going to be critical here, because you have to be willing to walk out God's order in the chaos that you find. Because I could tell you something about my home and my life, but we don't do chaos. Like at all chaos. We are not the people who say, we're going to talk about this later. There is no later. We address chaos the second it shows up, period. Because we believe that God is a God of order. And the more order we can press towards, then God can move on top of that. Guys, I saw 21 people in my house having Sunday dinner. How many people was at your Sunday dinner table? And everybody was content. Everybody was happy. Everybody got from that moment what they needed. And guys, it was a lot of prayer before that. Me, my wife, my brother, we had to pray some things because we could feel some of the shifts, some of the tension. We could feel some of the old wounds. We could feel some of the distractions and divisions. And we just sat down and we prayed. And we prayed, and God brought his presence and his order to that space. And man, it was amazing. Even the kids was like, when are we going to do this again? And I'm looking like, do y'all cook? And they were laughing, but they loved it. They loved having their cousins. They loved having their grandmas and their grandpa and their great-grandma there and their uncles there. And if we tell the truth, a lot of times we don't care deeply about what our relationship means to others. Because my wife and I was reflecting on it yesterday. We're like, man, you know how many times in our relationship we just was like, F everybody, it's just about us. And it looked like that. It looked like we were living F everybody. It looked like we weren't doing our part to facilitate and build a bridge for others to connect. Because sometimes you can do what no one else you know can do. As we were sightseeing, I was taking my family, my mom, my dad, my grandma around the Seattle area. They were talking about, you know, who has children, who doesn't have children from their lifetime. And one of my mom's cousins doesn't have children. And they were all shocked. And I said, Mom and Dad, like, think about this. If I had babies, you think I'd be driving y'all around right now? I was like, I had to wake up at 1 a.m. For those of you on the 8-hour work week system, I had to wake up at 1 a.m. to do all my work for the day so that we could leave at 9:30, which was the time we scheduled to leave to go sightseeing. And they were looking at me like, I was like, yeah, everyone is called of God to live their life. Too many of us are letting outside influences, to include our family, distract us from what God sent us to do. And I was like, Mom and Dad, when was the last time y'all hung out? They're like, we don't. I was like, but y'all doing it now. I wonder why. And I was like, because there's a presence of God that me and my wife pray for. There's a place of peace that me and my wife pray into our home, that if you walk through my front door, I don't care who you were before you walked in. I know who you are going to become before you leave, because God is real and he is tangible. And the problem is, as we press towards the things of God, we tend to leave it in the esoteric. We don't literally petition heaven for evidence as if God is us. God isn't us. Even one of my brothers came over yesterday. He said, Bernard, when you said 2021 would be the year of relationships, did you envision this? And I looked at him and I looked at where he was pointing, my mom and dad and my grandma sitting in the living room, playing old praise and worship songs from their generation, the island version, and singing and laughing. And I'm sitting here looking at him like, man, nah, I did not imagine this. But the word of God says he will do things above and beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. But one of the things I want to challenge everybody listening today is, are you truly walking that out? And what I mean by that is, if God put move here into your heart, what should moving there do? What does it mean to God? I know what it means to you, but what does it mean to God? If God said, go after that promotion or go position yourself at this company, I know what it means to you, but what does it mean to God? When God told me purchase a home, when God put in my wife's heart purchase a home, it was for exactly what we witnessed on Sunday. It was exactly what we witnessed yesterday. It was so we could have a space where people can gather and where people can be healed. That's specifically what we prayed the day we got the keys to our home. We wanted something tangible. It's just me and my wife. We could live anywhere in the world. But God had put something in our heart, and we just walked that out. And consistently I would ask, okay, God, what does this mean to you? What would you have me do? And what I feel really pressed on, and BK talked about it, guys, we have to build, grow, and restore relationships. Guys, we have to build, grow, and restore relationships. When my wife and I first got to the Seattle area, no family lived here. It was just us for years. And as we grew as humans, as we yielded and submitted to God, God kept bringing family members to us, first to visit, and then they'll say, yeah, I'm moving. That's typically how it went. They visited, and then they moved. And now here's the thing. If that's not happening in your life, and I'm not specifically saying family only, but relationships, God is saying, I can't trust you with people yet. Because when God could trust you with people, he'll send them to you. Because I could remember times in my life where God wouldn't send people to me because he couldn't trust me with them. The way I would judge them, the way I would approach them, or maybe it's a leader or a mentor, the way I would put them on a pedestal or make them an idol. God says they're human. And if I sent them into your life, you need them and they need you. And I don't care who it is. If God placed a human being in your life, you need them and they need you for that season. Bernard, make that make sense. Okay, here's my biblical proof. Why would a prince, Jonathan was a prince, connect with a shepherd? That's God. God allowed that relationship to blossom. Why? Because for one season, David needed everything Jonathan could teach him, because he knew nothing about being in the royal court. So Jonathan would teach him the different traditions of the court. He would give him his clothes and say, wear this. You can't go in like that. He even protected his life by saying, hey, my daddy wants you dead. I'm going to give you a sign if he still wants you dead, and then you go ahead and leave. But if I do this, then go ahead and stay, because he has gotten over wanting you dead. So God puts people in our life for a season because we need something from them and we need to give something to them. What did David give to Jonathan? And this was years after Jonathan had died. Jonathan had a son. His son wasn't doing too well. But because of David wanting to honor his relationship, he blessed Jonathan's son. And this had to be some decades later. And because many of us, and I heard Barry on Friday on the prayer line say it, guys, we don't value our relationships enough. So we think a lot of the things that we're going to accomplish, we're going to do it alone. And that's why I read those lyrics before, because I need you to hear, you did not get here on your own. The best things in your life that you celebrate, you need not do that on your own. Stop lying to yourself about it. Because if you keep lying to yourself about that part of the journey, then you'll keep betraying the relationships that God wants you to cultivate so that more of his glory can be seen on earth. And then those who need what they need from you in a season, and those who show up to give to you what's yours in a season, that all that transaction happened. In the Bible, Job lost it all. His friends showed up, sat with him. Eventually, the voice of God spoke. And then it said, and his friends gave to him, double what he lost. What if he didn't have any friends? What if he didn't have any cultivated relationships that God could utilize and activate to put him in position? I was having this conversation with my grandma, and she pointed something out. She was like, Bernard, it's just like Ruth and Naomi. Like, Ruth is literally a pillar in the Bible because of her relationship that was cultivated with who? With Naomi. But if you look at most of us, if you tell the truth, we're struggling because we don't have enough quality, godly relationships. And for people on this prayer line, we should be doubly challenged because you have a line full of people you could cultivate relationships with. Well, I'm busy. They're busy just like you. If it's important, to work it. If it's important, you'll work it. If you really heard PJ say a strategic phone call right when he needed from someone on the prayer line. How many of us could have used a strategic encouragement phone call right when we needed it? But did we cultivate the relationship that allows that phone call to come in. Because a lot of what we are pressing towards is not only for you, it's also for the people God called you to. Yes, God wants to take you to new places. Yes, God wants to do so much in your life, but it's not just for you. And it's those ideas that stop you from fully walking in it. There's a tremendous benefit from following God. For me, the peace to God, you know, if the finances, the money and all of that stuff stays and grows, great. But if there's valley moments, I still have God's peace in the valley. Again, guys, in my adult lifetime, I had never till Sunday seen my mom and dad eat a meal together at peace. But they did that in my home. They did that in my home. And it was so significant that my wife stopped eating to call it out to me. And I got up and I took pictures, you know, because that's evidence. That's evidence for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And if most of us tell the truth in our adult lives, we haven't seen our mothers or fathers eat together either. Because many of us are from broken communities and broken relationships. But here's the truth. I believe in a God who's a God of what? Restoration. And he showed me it's possible. And I don't care if they get romantically involved or not. But I knew what I saw and I knew what I witnessed yesterday. I spent 5 to 6 hours with my mom and my dad and my grandmother sightseeing again. And that had never happened in my adult life. I'm 38 years old. That had never happened. I called all my siblings. That had never happened in any of their lives either. There was even one point in our conversation where, you know, because one of my brother's marriages is shaky and the kids were talking to their grandpa and they had mentioned, you know, we just want our mom and dad together. And my grandmother was like, yes, they just need to be together. And I'm like, not if they're toxic, not if they're destroying those kids. Like, I know a couple who they weren't working out. They built a big enough house. The husband got one side and the ex-wife got one side. And so they're still there for their kids, but they ain't living up under that toxic setting that was destroying them as humans. Guys, humans have flaws, just like you, just like me. We have flaws. And at times, we need to practice leaning in and going beyond their flaws and connecting with their humanity. We have to learn to stand with people again, pray for people again, and connect with them in love. We saw Jesus do that at the well. Jesus was at the well, and he leaned in beyond his cultural context, beyond the traditions at the time, beyond the doctrine of the time, and he connected with a woman and changed her life forever. And how many of us, if somebody didn't lean in beyond our flaws, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be on the prayer line. We wouldn't be walking the walk we have. Our families wouldn't be on the trajectory they are. And I'm someone who can say that without hesitation. I needed people to lean in and pray for me when I didn't want prayer. And call me when I didn't want to be called. And hold me accountable when I didn't want to be held accountable. And do relationship with me when I wasn't qualifying to be in relationship. Because guys, for you to build, grow, and scale anything in your life, you're gonna need people. You're gonna need people. And if you think there's a deeper currency than relationships, you're incorrect. If you're on this prayer line, chances are you've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, and that is what? A relationship. If it's a quality relationship, you go deeper. If it's a faulty, I show up when I need him relationship, your life feels and looks like it. I remember when one of my brothers first moved here, and I was sharing with him that we can't be crisis relationship people. Like, we are only there for each other if somebody's in crisis. Oh man, I'm going through this. I'm there for you. And then once your crisis is over, we're never talking. I was like, let's not do that. I don't like the way that feels. I don't like the way that flows. Let's just do relationship. Let's just love each other, check in on each other, see what's going on with each other, do things for each other, sow into each other's lives, and just be there for each other and see what happens. And that has been transformational for me because, again, there are things that I can't look. We can't see our own blind spots. BK says this all the time. So God puts us in families and puts us in relationships and puts us around people
to help us grow and help us become more.
Lazarus was dead. What did his sisters do? They petitioned Jesus. He was dead. Literally dead. Like, literally dead. And one of his sisters said something that was powerful. He said, "Even still, Lord, if you want this to happen, it would happen." And then he wasn't dead anymore. There's so many things that die. My parents were divorced 29 years. No adult who can call themselves their babies, myself included, had seen them eat food together without harsh words or harsh looks. Guys, I'm 38. I haven't seen that in 20 years. But we all witnessed it quite consistently. Sunday, yesterday. Why? Because God is real and God is a God of restoration. But we have to learn to grow, build, and cultivate relationships. And we have to get better at relationships. And here's the thing. It's not force. It's not force. One of the steps and strategies you can use immediately to start cultivating deeper relationships is when God sends me a human, whether I wanted him to send me that human or not, I say, "God, you put this person in front of me. What do I need to give to them and what do I need from them?" I just humble myself and ask, because I didn't make them. The best thing about being around my grandma, my daddy, and my mama at the same time is realizing I'm not responsible for what's in them. Like, I'm a part of their community. I came through what they did, not vice versa. So there's things that their generation does that's different than what my generation does. And I can respect why that is while still walking out what I'm called to walk out. And it will come up in differences in our conversation. It comes up in different ways we look at the world. For example, my mom and dad and grandma loves to say somebody got a great job. And at some point in the conversation, I said, "Mom, that is not a great thing." She said, "Bernard, why not?" "Mom, because we're called to be the head. So if they are not the head of that organization, they are not where God wants them to be. If I'm incorrect, correct me." "Well, Bernard, you're not wrong, but you don't." "No buts. Mom, you said it 3 times in a row. We want people to be the head, not the tail. We don't want them to just be okay with getting the job. We want them to know that was the start, but what God has for them will grow them to the next level. And yes, that will require them to grow their relationships. But most of us don't want to grow relationships. Social anxiety is at an all-time high. Yes, we went through COVID. It forced a lot of families to look within, to reconnect. And to me, that was one of the positive symptoms of all of us going through a pandemic. But early in the pandemic, my line was blowing up. And I'm like, "What you need coaching about?" "Yeah, man, being around my family." "Bro, they're your family." But the relationships, they weren't being cultivated. And sometimes cultivating a relationship is just sowing. It's just sowing for a season. The Bible says, "In due season, you will reap." In due season. I saw a due season on Sunday. After a week of prayer, fasting, after 2 years of gathering people, I've only been in this space for 2 years. And I've seen more family members through this space in 2 years than I have in 10 years. In 10, just doing what God put on my heart to do. Cultivating relationships, making sure I'm loving the people God sent to me. If you're here, I love on you. If you're in my life, I check in. Is there anything I can do for you specifically? You know me, you know my skill set, you know what I have access to. Is there any introductions I can make? Is there anything I can do for you? Sometimes it's just somebody to listen. Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just a check-in, a phone call. Guys, God, so again, let's go to biblical proof. Moses was kind of moving on his own, you know, trained in the ways of the Egyptian, raised by a princess, so makes him a prince, and moved on his own. We know the story. He fled Egypt. And when he fled Egypt, he started doing life with a family. He started to understand and grow in relationship. That was probably a weakness when he was moving as an Egyptian.
because he felt like an outcast. But after he fled, he had a do-over, he took it seriously. And he was doing relationship. He was married, he was in a family, he was in a community. Most of our lessons, my brother puts it this way. He says, family is the gym God gives us to work out who we are, the best of who we are, the areas we need to grow. But most of us, if we tell the truth, we think that we can accomplish more outside the home than in the home. And I think it's the exact opposite. I think the more you accomplish in the home, the more you will get to accomplish outside the home. Because if not, you're going to lose half of it. Like, look, Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos live in Seattle. It's been our news for so long, like we just ignore it, that they lost half of it. Even driving by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation yesterday, showing my mom and dad where it was and telling them, you know, when we have more time, we could go to the Discovery Center. We started a conversation there. And I was like, how much did they cultivate their relationships? Really investing in each other. I have a wife who invests in me. Every 2 weeks, she takes me to get a manicure and pedicure. That's something she wants to do for me. That's our time. We just carve that out. That's just for us. She's sowing into me. She's going to reap. That's how it works. But if we keep running and putting off, that we're not truly actively engaged in building relationships, a lot of the symptoms of poor relationships keep showing up. My wife didn't start out being a woman who I could talk to about everything. But by cultivating a relationship with her, consistently being there for her, consistently doing my part of what the relationship looks like, it created that. My mom and dad is not comfortable with any of my other siblings the way they're comfortable with me. And my other siblings have a lot of soft skills that I don't have. You've heard me say this before. Like, I ain't got kids. I'm an adult. I only have adult conversation. Period. I don't compromise that. That's what I'm called to. I only have adult conversations. I never lower my conversation level to the level of a child. I just don't have to. I don't have children. So there's a lot more ease in other of their children's homes. But in my homes, we gonna move a certain way. We gonna flow a certain way. Order is order. Like, even at Sunday dinner, everybody had a seating chart. And my dad was like, I would have never thought to do that. I was like, yeah, no judgment, Dad, but you have allowed a lot of chaos. I don't allow a lot of chaos. I know who not supposed to be sitting next to each other, because that's not going to work out after they finish eating. And that's just what has to happen. I believe in order. Because once I believe we do the most to organize things the way we can, then God will come in and do the next step. And for us to rebuild our communities, build these businesses that many of us own, excel in our careers. Guys, we got to get things in order. And for most of us, that order starts within the home. And that's the spot most of us ignore. Everybody's holding up a championship trophy from an organization they don't own. But will your son, your daughter, your wife, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, would they give you flowers showcasing that your leadership, the way you love them, the way that you're with them, that it was worth it to them, that it changed their lives just watching you love your wife, that it changed their lives just watching you gather people and treating people with respect? Like, we're seeking all these accolades. Study the ministry of Jesus. It was person to person, human to human, hand-to-hand combat, as we say in some parts of the world. Just really doing what he could for the people in front of him. That's it. And that will continue to grow. We're still a part of the Jesus movement all these years later. That means what they did was so effective that it continued, a ripple effect. And what I want to challenge you is, like, okay, we came through a week of prayer and fasting. What's my evidence that what I specifically was praying and fasting for showed up? Because I was praying and fasting for relationships. Because for me, 2021 is a year of relationships. So in every relationship, and guys, I have enemies. I know who they are. And they know that I know that they're my enemy. Like I said, I have no problem confronting humans. But the Bible still tells me to love my enemy. So I ain't trying to destroy them. But I know who they are. I'm going to cultivate every relationship I have. I'm going to invest in every relationship that's in front of me. And when that relationship runs its course, when the season for that relationship's over, I can walk away knowing, God, did I do what I was supposed to do in that relationship? And if he says yes, for me, that's the confirmation I need to just continue to move forward. Because I'm telling you, I'm not experimenting anymore. When we first started doing this, it was an experiment. Like, okay, we bought the house, Lord, and it's got a whole lot of rooms, a whole lot of cleaning, and there's a whole little bit of people. And then as people started to come, and more started to come, and more started to come, I was like, oh, so this is why you had us do it like this. And I'm challenging you to think beyond just you. Start with you. Start with how you treat yourself. Start with how you relate to yourself. Are you giving yourself enough sleep, enough rest? Are you truly pursuing the things you should pursue? Are you really providing for yourself the best opportunities, the best training? Again, I try to really spend money on nutrition, the best nutrition that you can afford. And then you start spreading it out. If you're in a relationship, if you're married like I am, how are you relating to your wife? And really work that relationship out. See where you can grow it. See where you can build it. See where you can bridge it. And truly allow that to ripple out. If you have children, ripple out to your children. You know, if you're a part of a church community, let that ripple out to that community. If you're a part of a business community, let that ripple out to that community. In one speech I was given earlier this year, I had to remind people that y'all don't like Bernard because y'all don't even know me. And they were like, man, no, y'all don't. Even on this prayer line, y'all don't know me. Y'all like Latasha's husband because I'm married. I've been married since I was 20. So a lot of the qualities that was refined where? In my marriage. Through the fire. Ron talked about the whirlwind, the centrifuge. It's through that that my character was developed. It's through that that I started to understand the value of relationships and standing with others. Anything I don't understand, I just say, okay, pray. Let me pray because the word challenges me to lean not on my own understanding. Guys, if we're really to be here for the next generation, if we're really to give them the best of us, I remind you of what Pastor Mike Roeder says. When you have all you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. And I really believe in this season of division, dissension, politics, many of us have been helping to build the fence, even in our own homes, versus building a bigger table. So those people, my mom and daddy, so they can get what they need, so that they can heal, so that they can get a broader understanding of how they can still contribute in a major way to their children's lives, who many of them, 3 out of the 5 are parents as well, married. All 5 of us are married. So again, they can still share some things, remind us of some missteps, help us in our communication. And guys, it's never too late. Never too late. It's never too late to right relationships. The thing is, it's not in your hand. All right, BK, I can close in prayer or I can open things up for some questions.
Hey, Bernard, this is Jake. I just wanted to make a comment real quick and first of all say thank you for everything you shared. It was, if it was for anybody, it definitely hit home for me when where I'm at right now in the season. But I remember when I first met you back in 2016, 17, I'm not sure when it was. But I was just starting my nonprofit. We didn't really know what direction we were going. We were having trouble, you know, finding people to support us and build our team. And I remember something you gave me, and I needed it in that season, and it was very surface level, but I've used it the last 4 or 5 years. But what you touched on today took it a lot deeper, which is the season I'm in now, which is what I needed to hear. I wouldn't have understood it back then. And what you said to me back then was, you know, life is almost like the city bus. You know, you get on and you get off. You know, you can't control who gets on the bus. You can't control who gets off the bus. But what kind of conversations are you having while they're on the bus? You know, what interactions are you having? And when they get off, you can't control that. That's their time to get off. That's their stop. And I needed that in that season, and it made so much sense to me. But then what you talked about today, going a lot deeper into the relationship side of it, I needed that, you know, right now, like in this moment. So I definitely appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jake. Yeah, when you just said that, like while we were sightseeing, someone from my dad's church called him, and someone from the church had passed, and, you know, then the call started coming in, because, of course, they all want to plan to be there for the funeral. And again, it just hit everybody in that car in that moment that, yeah, don't take this for granted. You know, this is a phone call about someone who left the planet. This isn't, you know, like they're sick or they're inconvenienced. They're no longer here. And what you said, Jake, is worth echoing. A lot of times we don't think about the conversations we're choosing to have, because at one point we're stuck in traffic and my mom was commenting on the traffic. And I always give people three times. Jake, so first time I just documented it. Second time I was like, okay. I was like, let her get the three, Bernard. That's where patience shifts, as I like to say. When she got to three, I said, Mom, we are in traffic. Traffic is going nowhere. We can choose to focus on the traffic or we can choose to focus on each other. And immediately she got it and we started having a conversation that we needed. You know, and I think many of us at times, as we're journeying through life with others, we don't think about the relationship coming to an end. And that's why I like that God is called the Alpha, the Omega, because in my mind and my heart, I always know everything comes to an expected end. So all we have is the journey. And if in that journey, we are truly making the strategic investments, being intentional and deliberate in our relationships, man, the benefits, you know, it outweighs the burden. A great share, Jake.
And I do apologize. I was definitely on mute, man. Great presentation as always.
Hey, BK, I just want to say, before you go, I just want to say thank you, Bernard. That spoke to me. I'm actually dealing with some relationships, man, and you shift the perspective for me, man. So I just want to say thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone else? Because I really appreciate what Jake was saying and what Chris was saying. It's so such a challenge to present here, or really to present anytime. And all the feedback, even if, you know, it's maybe not favorable, it's still helpful because it's all growth. So any other questions, comments? Otherwise, I'll let Bernard shift into prayer. We put so much out there. Really love that quote too. When you have all you need, my God, build a bigger table, not a taller fence. My God, that is, wow, powerful. You know what, Bernard, because I see a lot of ads and I see a lot of talk about millionaire and billionaire. And I hear a lot of talk about it and they speak as if to get to that status is God. And I always read them and I'm thinking to myself, and then what? And then what? What do you do once you become a millionaire or a billionaire? First of all, the ones that I've met, they're the opposite. I used to have a limousine business. I may have shared this with you, Bernard. And the people who had money, they didn't want my limo. They wanted my town car, because they wanted less attention. People who had no money, the broke folk wanted the limo. The broke folk wanted to look like they had money, and the people who had money wanted to look like they didn't have money.
Yeah, I remember us having that conversation, BK, and, you know, that's why at the top of the call, I prayed that, you know, we tear down the idols we have, because, you know, and this is a pure jab, pun intended. American Idol is one of the hugest shows on TV when it's on. Like, we have so much American idols, just things we would always put before God. And that's no cap. That's who we are in this country. Like God, if God's convenient, then it's okay. If God is convenient, then it's okay. If God is blessing me, then it's okay. Like DJ Khaled say, bless up. That's when we want to talk about it and be about it. But when God is like, oh, let me take your family through this cancer. Let me take your family through this loss of life. Let me take your family through this to bring you all together in a closer way.
You know, we don't want to go through those moments, the valleys, you know, or the centrifuges, those things that knit us together in a different way. I wonder what type of wife Job's wife was to him after he lost it all and got back double. I wonder. Same woman who said curse God and die after she had more babies and her daughters were called the most beautiful in the land. I wonder what type of mama she was after having went through all that with her husband, who stood as faithfully as he could through all that testing. And I think a lot of what we don't get to truly grab hold of is how God sends sustaining relationships in each season. And so we think the stuff is more important than the relationships. And then we see so many people with only stuff. And they couldn't pay for what I experienced at Sunday dinner. They couldn't pay for what I experienced yesterday. I know people with a lot more money than me. And there's nothing they could do to put their mom and daddy in the same room. Nothing. But just me walking out a humility and serving my family that God has called me to bless so many other people besides just my immediate family. So many of us, we don't think about what God really wants to do. The Bible says he would give us more than we can ask for, think about, and imagine. But without knowing it, we get stuck in what we can envision for. And God has more capacity than that. So I think a part of this conversation, BK, is how are we truly letting go of the idols that we already have in our heart, mm-hmm. making a million, you know, having a stock portfolio pay off a certain amount of passive and, you know, income, these idols in our heart, so that we have capacity to onboard what God has for us. Because that's something else I was showcasing to my parents. You know, their generation is quite traditional. They expect work to be done between certain hours. And I was like, look, if I have to get up at 1 so that I'm free by 9 a.m., that's not hard for me. I just stick to the discipline of getting that done so I can have capacity, again, to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And I think too many of us, if we tell our truth, most of us have only lived in this country, visited others, but lived here, our American idols don't leave us with much space. We got to watch the game. We got to know what's in the news. We got to do all these things. You talked about it, BK, that really don't bear fruit. And so what I'm looking at this season in my life is, Bernard, is what you doing bearing fruit with evidence? BK? Like, people hate that I say that word so much. I want the evidence. My coach is glad to know. I don't even want to talk to you if you have no proof. Take a picture of the scale. Take a picture of your meal. You know, send me the bottom number of the contract. I want to see your progress. Because I understand, like, school didn't get everything wrong. One of the things that they did beautifully was they created a system whereby which people would measure themselves. Did I get an A? Did I get a B? Did I get a C? And I think most of us, if we're humbly vulnerable and visible, we'll say, if we did an average of all the relationships in our life, from business to career to family, many of us are playing with the C average, the C average in relationships. When we are connected to the author of relationships, to a God who is described as love. So you have every ingredient that relationships need, love. I love telling my family members, I ain't got your answer, but I love you. I'm like, I just heard what you said. My brain just shut down after that word. Like, that's heavy. I love you though. I just sit with them. And if something opens up, something occurs to me, I say it. If not, I just sit with them. And that love is undefeated, y'all. It's enough. But we don't really deploy love everywhere. We hold it back as if we can run out. I found I can't run out of love. Not because I don't have a limited capacity. I'm just connected to the person, to the God who doesn't have a limit. So if I need more love, I just ask for it, God. You see what's going on, Jesus. I'm going to need a lot of love right now because I have a lot of leadership and straightening, but I'm going to need some love with that. and he shows up. And I believe if we are humble enough to consistently tap into that love, move that love beyond our opinions and our judgment, that we can connect with people, we can reconnect with people, and we can help others connect on the platform of love that we build and get to deploy.
I think we're ready, good brother. I think we're ready for that prayer, if you are.
Okay. I am. Any specific prayer requests that you guys want me to get in while I pray?
Yeah, good morning. Claudia Huggin, I just want to give you guys an update because you've heard me from time to time asking for prayer for my mom. And once again, she does have congestive heart failure. And so doctors that she's had in the past, just in short, really just didn't care. And it was a situation that was unnerving. Well, so yesterday I got news that she has this different doctor, and he's actually making out a path to do certain steps that's going to help her situation. And her situation is really complex, and I don't want to get into too many details, but she does have a pacemaker. She does have, I forget how it's pronounced, atrial defibrillation or some things like that or whatever, and it's a variety of things. So it's not and I don't think congestive heart failure is simple at all, but he has a variety of steps, and okay, then you do if this, then this, or whatever have you. But there's a plan, and there's a whole lot involved. And so it's definitely taken a lot of faith, a lot of praying. And to be honest, for me personally, it is kind of draining to a certain extent. I don't let it get the best of me, but it's there. So I'm requesting prayer for my mom's heart situation, prayer for her, for me and the rest of my family that's praying for her. So just, and her name is Cheryl Wilson. Just keep Cheryl Wilson in your prayers. I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I got a childhood friend who I grew up with. We all grew up in church together. However, he decided to, want to be in the streets or whatever and this and that. You know, he's ended up in a car accident here recently where, he no longer has the use of his he's having to relearn to walk, talk, all this and that. His mom is a real godly woman or whatever. But her whole family, all the kids in her family have all kind of went the way of the street one way or another. I don't know what to pray for, with them. You know what I mean? Because some stuff I feel like people bring on themselves. So, but I'm going to see him in a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? I need help with that way because I don't know what to pray for when somebody bring that type of stuff with their lifestyle on themselves. Just whatever. So his name is Dustin. His mom's name is Lisa and the whole Lloyd family. So keep them lifted up, please. I appreciate it.
Got it. All right. Anyone else?
Pray for our exes, man. Every relationship we've ended for some reason, I can lift up in prayer also the family.
Okay, got that one down. Any more? A few more.
Yeah, I just feel impressed to say that none of us knows what we need to pray for. Romans 8:26 tells us that. We just pray. Just wanted to encourage the brother that said he doesn't know what to pray for. Just pray.
Love that one. All right. Father God, what I love about your word is that while we read, listen to it, it reads us. It showcases to us not only where there are gaps, but there are things that we're excelling in. So it highlights those areas and it says, hey, but by the way, work on this. As I listened to prayer line yesterday, Father God, I was reminded of the importance of the armor and how it's so important to keep moving forward. So I pray endurance for every brother on this line, that they can keep moving forward, that they can press towards excellence in every relationship in their life, whether it's with their wives, their children, their business relationships, their career relationships with each other on this line, help them to press towards excellence, Lord God, and let that legacy of excellence create something from the momentum of being consistent, because there's no excellence without consistency. We're not excellent by mistake, God. There has to be
some diligence. The word reminds us it's the hand of the diligent that maketh rich. So help us to be diligent about building and cultivating the relationships you have given to us, Lord God. Help us to be deliberate and specific in how we sit with, walk with, and pour into the lives you have entrusted us with. And God, help us to be intercessors. Help us to not run from knowing that prayer is one of the most powerful tools. And if we would just seek you out, seek your face, ask for our daily bread, ask for forgiveness, ask for help in every step of the way, everything we're going through, Lord God, you are faithful. You're faithful. And Lord God, too many times because we think that you're like us and that we don't need to be more like you, that because we let ourselves down, Lord God, you somehow have the capacity to let us down. Lord God, that's a powerful thing to know, that you don't even have the capacity to let us down. But Lord God, we struggle at times in obedience. We struggle, Lord God, with belief. So we ask right there that you help us to walk in obedience. And you help those areas in our heart where there's unbelief. Lord God, help us to stop being those who start and stop and start and stop and start and stop. Help us to just hear from heaven and do that. And know that in doing that one thing or those few things, that it's enough to bring you the glory that you want from our lives. Lord God, I didn't think that just gathering people and feeding people would be significant until you showed me just a few days ago how significant it was for them to get healed from the wounds that divided them, that you could restore relationships, that you could bring people back to a positive place of welcoming and community just by someone's obedience. Lord God, I was challenged by the idea of Moses, that one man, the one boy child that wasn't killed, Lord God, that wasn't murdered, Lord God, even though the Pharaoh wanted the little boys killed, the one boy child who was not killed turned the entire country around, Lord God, shifted everything. And Lord God, I'm surrounded by men, and you say, if one can put 1,000 to flight, Lord God, the more of us who gather, the number just grows exponentially. So as we all join our hearts and minds in prayer, Lord God, as we all petition heaven, Lord God, we're moving in a way and we're carrying in a way that we want to see right now results, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up Claudel. Lord God, I ask that you give him the strength to endure. Lord God, you said, run the race in a way that we get the prize. And then you also challenge us to endure to the end. So Lord God, help him to endure to the end. Lord God, sometimes our mamas are trying to mama us beyond 18, Lord God. And it feels a certain type of way, Lord God. And even when they should be asking for help and leaning not on their own understanding, they still move as our mamas. And Lord God, while we honor them, Lord God, at times you want us to truly take over the leadership. And so help, if that situation is going on, help that to switch, Lord God, so that if Claudel says this is the eating plan and this is what we're cooking, the mama wouldn't push back on the eating plan and what we're cooking, but she would embrace the changes that need to be made so that her health plan, her wellness plan, truly starts to take root and bear fruit. Lord God, I pray for Claudel's entire family, Lord God. Help them to endure to the end. Give them what they need in this season. Whatever perspective shift that you're giving them through this moment, Lord God, help them to own that it could only come through this moment, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for Claudel's mom. Lord God, Cheryl, we ask that you help her to agree with your word, that healing is possible. And at times we will have to take up our own bed and walk. So if that's following her health plan, following her wellness plan, getting the exercise that her caregivers talk about, doing, staying away from negative information or negative choices, Lord God. Help her to walk that stuff out. Lord God, yes, it's a lifestyle shift. But Lord God, that's what life requires. That's what living requires. And help her to embrace it. I know it's probably not easy. I know sometimes it's just like, it's too much. Y'all want me to do this, do that, do this. I'm tired of surgeries. I'm tired of y'all telling me what to do. But Lord God, what we ask is that the fatigue, caregivers, doctors, nurses, the fatigue staff, the people who just don't have the capacity to love beyond the moment, we ask that you have them replaced. And we ask that you place people around her who strategically help her take ownership in every area of her health so that she can live as long as she can, Lord. Lord,
help her disposition. Lord God, going through all that cannot be without weariness, cannot be easy, Lord God. Watching my grandmother get in and out the car, having to lift her leg and gently put it out the car, and me having to help her up everywhere, Lord God, I could see, Lord God, how just life can take a toll on who we are as human beings. Lord God, so place people around her to just love her and with their strength help carry her further than she would be able to go on her own right now. Lord God, just help her to have a full heart commitment to her wellness plan, whatever that is, God. And Lord God, help her to not run from the discipline that requires. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I lift up this childhood friend, and no matter the disasters or distractions that he has had to face, Lord God, I just want to lift up the whole Lloyd family, Dustin, Lisa. Lord God, you know what you want out of that moment. You know what you want out of this situation. You know what you want out of that visit. But what we ask is that you help us on earth to get in agreement with heaven, so that no matter how we feel, we would speak as you would speak. No matter how we feel, we would love as you would love. Because in those two things, Lord God, it allows people to humble themselves. And where we're supposed to lead them, Lord God, it allows them to let us lead. And Lord God, if we're walking following you and others allow us to lead, then they also start to get to know you because you're who we follow. Lord God, we pray that each family member this week, ahead of this visit, gets a touch from you, something that they know was a God move in their life, that they just feel it, they sense it, or a conversation brings it to their remembrance. Help them to know that you exist, Lord God. Lord God, one of the biggest things that's stopping us from walking out our faith is just so much noise. And that noise at times doesn't leave space for us to have a God consciousness. So if there's young people here, Lord God, help them to have moments without their devices. Lord God, if there's a lot of contention and back and forth, Lord God, help them to have moments of peace. Because, Lord God, it's in that peace, it's in that still space that we can hear the voice of God, we can feel the presence of God, we can smell the fragrance of God. So that's what we're praying over the Lloyd family, Lord God, that you move on their behalf. You know exactly what they have need of, Lord God. And we ask that not only do you meet those needs, that you exceed those needs in a way that they can only give you glory for it, Lord God. Lord God, you know what they have been through. Lord God, just stand with them and be with them. Pour out your presence on that family in a new way so that their hearts can be turned back to you. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I lift up everybody's exes, ex-girlfriends, baby mamas, ex-wives, Lord God, people we cut off. Lord God, sometimes people hurt people. We do things that leave people wounded. We do things that leave people bleeding emotionally and spiritually. Lord God, we push people away. Lord God, help us to understand that you have a solution. Sometimes you use us to be a part of that solution. Sometimes that solution has nothing to do with us. But Lord God, by just being humble enough to bring this up, Lord God, it allows you to extend your grace to some situations most of us would rather not think about. Lord God, we ask that you extend your grace to exes, to baby mamas, to ex-wives, to people we've cut off, Lord God, and do something so tangible, so real in their life today, Lord God, that the fragrance of who you are causes them to seek out a deeper relationship with you. Lord God, everything is teaching us something. And Lord God, at times we have just connected with people ahead of schedule or in our own strength, and it just didn't work out, God. Lord God, heal the damages. Heal the torn places, and rebuild relationships, Lord God, because it's so amazing what you can do when people move beyond the hurt and pain and friendships start to knit again. Because when I think about David reaching out, to reaching back and doing something for the lineage of Saul, Saul who wanted him dead because of the son Jonathan, Lord God, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan would have never been blessed had you not allowed in David's heart certain things to heal, in David's walk certain things to heal. So we ask that for our exes, baby mamas, ex-wives, people we've cut off, Lord God, you have things healed, Lord God, so they can reach beyond that moment and live as who they should be, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I just lift up every brother on the line, Lord God,
Lord God, we all can take our relationships to a higher level. So we ask that you don't let us betray the work that needs to be done. And sometimes that work is just scheduling time together. Lord God, so if we have to schedule an hour with a son, a daughter, an hour with our wife, uninterrupted, phone off, help us to do that, God, so that you can utilize that space in that relationship to showcase love. Lord God, I believe love is undefeated. I have seen love always win in my life. But Lord God, as men, sometimes just the work and the weariness that sets in, we don't move in love. We don't speak in love. And Lord God, we push people away, our families, our business colleagues, those you have placed in our lives. And Lord God, so we're tapping into your capacity to love humans, first ourselves, God. Because I can clearly see when people don't love themselves, Lord God, it's hard for them to extend what they don't give to themselves. So help us to fill up on love, your love. God, you're described as love. So help us to fill up on your love and then utilize that love to deploy to our loved ones, deploy to those we get to lead, deploy to those we do life with. And Lord God, let that love heal, let that love transform, and let that love guide us in all things, Lord God. Lord God, we're praying for wisdom. And we're praying for tangible evidence of you moving in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with two things you learned and one challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast. The Bernard Bergen Podcast is brought to you by BernardBergen.com. Visit for more on human performance insights and results coaching.